Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present...
Unbelievable!
MG's Rugby League Rundown.
Yeah, the greatest midweek rugby league podcast in the history of podcasts. Yeah. MG, Liam Flanagan here. Always a pleasure. And... MG, look, we have got a lot to get through. We want to give plaudits to Jackson Hastings and what he's been doing in the number seven for the West Tigers. We are going to... I love Madge Maguire because he is saving my no-coach fight this season prediction. Mm. Now I've got to turn my attention to Belmore because yes. Trent Barrett's the one putting that prediction under pressure. We've got to talk about the Chookies. You've got a bee in your bonnet about the referees as well, which we're going to get to. But as we do every week, we started off with your plays of the week, looking back at round seven.
Let's go!
MG.
That is massive.
Plays of the week.
Well, the Giant Killers, them Tigers, they've just seemed to be doing something really good of late. And you mentioned the guy at the top of the podcast, Jackson Hastings, who touches the ball about 90 times in a game. So an average halfback touches the ball between 50 and 60 or 70. He's doing 90 touches a game, so he's fully involved. And that's just freeing up everybody else. And what happened the other night against the South Sydney Rabbitohs was young Ilias, he made a break, and this is what happened. I was waiting for Dan to say goodbye, but no. Little was in hot pursuit. Jacob Little, he showed, and he's carrying an injury. And that just shows you and me and shows everyone, I think, just what kind of spirit the Tigers are playing with at the moment. Because that was a turning point. South Sydney looked like they're coming back in the game. And Jacob Little, he was my player of the week. That tackle was one of the better tackles you'll see in the game of rugby league. Number two, well, they told us big fellas not to touch the ball as far as putting it on our toe and putting it up in the air.
Nelson.
But Nelson takes the piss. Puts a bomb up, and Pappenhausen scores off it.
Brandon, not used to kicking, was a little hesitant. Josh King didn't want to kick it. Big Nelson kicks it. Oh, and Ryan Pappenhausen flies through the air for points. Try Pappenhausen, try assist. The walking condominium.
Yeah, Eddie Raymond. And just to look a little bit of sidebar on that, in that tackle we saw an ugly incident. Dallin Martini's Lesniak went up for the kick, but he kind of got tripped by his own player and he went head first. And just close your eyes and picture this for a second, head first into Nelson's knee accidentally. Oh. So the poor bugger looked in a bit of froth and bubble for a while there, but he was okay. He sent a message yesterday to all his fans saying that it was passed at all the protocol. So well done.
Right, that's Dallin. Good news.
Yeah,
hey, quickly, before you move on to your last one,
yes.
Surely Nelson cops a fine. Monday morning at training. I know he pulled it off, but surely there is a punishment when a prop kick goes to the sky with a bomb. Like, that's not on.
Well, if he put it this way, if they hadn't scored off that, he would have been probably relegated to Sydney Shield this week. And they haven't even got a Sydney Shield team. But the fact that they scored off it, I think he gets a bit of grace. But you won't see him kicking too many balls. I think it's the third time. I think they said third time in the history of his playing that he's kicked the ball. So third time, lucky for him. The last one is something that we'll probably be talking about a bit today in the potty, and that's the rivalry or the feud that's starting to fester between one of my arch enemies of the 80s and 90s, the Raiders. But it started last year when we had our 30-year reunion, and that was the game, if you remember, when Crichton pulled Tarpany into the huddle after they scored and tempers flared and the Panthers' faithful started the Viking clap. Well, when it was about 36-6 the other Sunday against the Raiders, the local Panthers let the Raiders know what exactly they were up to.
And now, Reedy, what have you got? Very quickly, please.
Rubbing salt in the wounds here, Dan. They're doing the Viking clap. They're mocking the Raiders.
Doing it with 20 to go. That's the rubbing it in.
Mm. It certainly is. And you know what? I love it. It's theatre. I can't get enough of that type of tribalism because, you know what, with every type of feud, there's a retaliation. And mark down in your calendar, I think it's Saturday, the 6th of August, because that's the next time Penrith play Canberra in Canberra. Whoa. It'll be freezing cold, but you can bet your bottom dollar that both of the dressing sheds, they'll have their temperatures boiling. because this will be a game not to miss. So we've got a little rival happening in between them. Whether you like it or not, it's here to stay because the Viking clap is a sensational addition to our game. And like Michael Ennis did a few years ago when he was playing for the Sharks, it's open to be taking the mickey out of, which is, you know, I'm pretty sure they know that. But, look, a great round of NRL, round seven. Can you believe, that Liam, that we're into round eight already?
Oh, it's flying by. And rivalries are great for football, MG, but I think now is probably the right time to just revisit a certain bold prediction made on this show last week. Panthers hosting the Raiders. We'll both be tipping the Panthers, but this is where my bold prediction comes into play, MG.
Okay.
I think round seven, I think the Panthers will be undefeated. And I think this is when we'll see the first reports of the arrogant Panthers. People come out and question the behaviour of this Panthers group.
I get
what you're saying. Full of themselves. They're cocky. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I think we'll start to see a bit of that rah-rah.
All now, I can say is I'm not worthy. I bow to you. You are Nostradamus. You are a footballing legend. You know exactly. I didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming. You saw something, obviously, that you perceived to be about to happen, and you hit the nail on the head. You hit the
you
nail
can
right
predict,
on the head.
Every bloke can predict scores. Everyone can have a crack at first try score. And sometimes people will correctly predict a score line. But to predict the mood of a sporting industry, I mean, that's a whole other level.
Well,
we're operating
on pulse,
here on
baby.
MG's Rugby League Rundown. That's another level.
It shouldn't be called MG's Rugby League Rundown. It should be called Liam's Rugby League Rundown from now on, because I'm not worthy, honestly. that was. It's going to happen. It's going to keep
like
happening.
It's like clockwork. It's tall poppy 21 syndrome. Games
Then, ironically, the last team to beat them at Pepper Stadium or Bank West or now at Blue Bet, were the Raiders back in 2019. So that watch for this little feud to fester. And Ricky Stewart, well under him after the game. A reporter asked him what he thought about the Viking club. He said, "Is that an issue? Really?
Yeah.
Like as if I've got bigger problems. My team's coming second last. As if I haven't got bigger problems than a Viking club from an opposing team. So yeah, next time they play, get ready for it."
The press conferences are becoming a fascinating environment where it's very hard to it's becoming like for some reason there are some dumb questions being asked, and when you put a dumb question to an angry coach,
you know the room. You've been doing it for a long time. You've been in Origin camps, and spoken to guys, and you read the room. You don't go straight up to them and ask them a question that's going to put you on the back foot. But I think sometimes the new age journos, well, they want a reaction. And that's what they've gone into the press conference for, to poke the bear somewhat. And it works because...
There is no way I would have asked Ricky Stewart about, after a loss like that, about the Viking club, about the crowd behaviour. Anyway, Ricky's got enough on his plate. Anyway, let's move on because... This is something that's we thought we might talk about it last week, and then we thought let's just let the comp go on for another round before we get to it but it's bubbling away now, and it's the question of inequality, the haves and the have-nots in the game of rugby league in the NRL. It came to a head, I think, on Monday when we saw the Storm put on 10 second half tries against the Warriors for a 70-10 scoreline. Do you think the competition is unequal, MG?
On face value, yes. You've got to say it is. But I have no remedy for it. I have no remedy except bite down my mouth guard Tigers. The Tigers 3 weeks ago everyone was saying you should be playing in the reserve grade comp. You're only 1 week away from being back on that, the springboard of success. And teams like the Doggies and the Raiders, the Knights have been very disappointing, I must say. 5 in a row they've lost. They're better than that. Your Titans are better than that. The Dragons are starting to show some form. The Warriors, well, after that shellacking, they're gone. You put a line through them. You can't get beat by 70 points, and even if you do make the 8, you're making up the numbers. Broncos, they have some sparking moments, and they're all got to do with Adam Reynolds and Katoni Staggs.
Yeah.
But I like the young forward pack, so I'd like to see them make the 8 because you don't know what will happen. South Sydney, again, they're treading water. Roosters, on the weekend, we saw them. I think they've got a problem with their halves. I think Keary and young Walker, they've got to sort something else. Because
it's not gelling, is it?
No, because when Keary and Kronk were half and 5'8", basically Keary was doing what young Walker's doing now. He was the ball running 5'8", and you know, all the setup work was done by Cooper Cronk. So they've got to really work out quick, and it's probably got to be Luke Keary, who's the settler, who sets everything up and plugs the holes, and you let Tedesco and Walker just do all the free running. I would not discount them. The Cowboys have been my most surprising team in the competition. I tipped them to come last.
They've been everybody's, yeah.
Yeah, I love what I'm seeing. I love this young Nanai. I love Val Holmes's Tom Dearden. I thought, what are they buying? They've bought six halfbacks. You know, we spoke about it on the Rush Hour last year. They've bought Dearden, they've bought Townsend, they've got Drinkwater. What are you going to do when Hamasai comes back? Because Drinkwater at fullback's been exceptional. And then you've got the two teams who could threaten the big two, I think, the Sharks and the Eels. They're the only two teams, I think, that can go near Penrith and Melbourne. But at the moment, on face value, them two teams up the top, Penrith and Melbourne, they are an avalanche away from the other teams.
And, MG, here's what I've done. People can't see it at home. I'm holding up some paper in front of you. I've gone on a deep dive. Because, on face value, the comp seems uneven, okay? Mm. The reality is it's not. The reality is this season is playing out exactly as the last 15 have. Since the NRL became a 16-team comp in 2007 when the Titans joined, this is how the seasons go in rugby league. On average, we have three new top eight teams every year, and we have two new top four teams every year. Guess what we've got this year? At the moment, we've only got two new top eight teams, but there's a chance that changes, and we've got two new top four teams. It is playing out in the exact same fashion. Now, what makes it seem unequal is that in the last 15 years, eight of the grand finals have been won by two teams, the Roosters and the Storm. Now, the Storm obviously had two of those stripped, but they still won the game. But that's what makes this seem uneven, is that the Storm are just there all the time and the Roosters are often there. Now, the more important stat there is about the top four, because the comp, since it's been a 16-team competition, the comp is never won if you don't finish in the top four. I think a team outside the top four has only made it to a grand final on five times, right? They've never won it. And on six times in 15 years, it's been 1v2. So I could bore you with more information on this. The reality is, though, we already know how this season's going to finish.
What are you saying in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, the grand final this year will be the Storm v the Panthers. And the Wooden Spoon will be won by the Raiders or the Bulldogs. The season is decided. What happens in between the two bookends of those things is kind of by the by. Now, it makes for boring viewing, you know, if you're a neutral or if your team's not one of those top two teams. But the reality is that it is a competition that the best two teams identify themselves really early and they stay there and they get to the grand final, and it's normally won by the top two teams.
Nice deep dive. That was good. That was nice. I think also this was the round seven, that is, that we saw some blowouts. We hadn't seen many blowouts this season. We'd seen a couple of potentials. But apart from the Tigers 23-22 over the Rabbitohs and the Dragons 14-12 over the Roosters, we had some big scores. You know, the Broncos won by 20, Cowboys by 26, Eels by 37, Panthers by 30. And obviously the Melbourne Storm by 60. So the blowouts, I hope, don't become a fait accompli in our game, because with the COVID interruptions, it's bad enough as it is leaving it. Each club, on average, loses a player a week through the COVID protocol, which is testing the depth. But if you've got the good depth, you shouldn't have to worry about it. And obviously Penrith and Melbourne at the moment have the best depth.
But geez, we're tough to satisfy as a bunch of rugby league fans, because when the games are hard fought scraps, we say there's not enough scoring, and then when we see scoring like we saw over the weekend, the games are blowouts and the comp's uneven. Like, we'll always find something to nitpick.
Pays our wages. That's, we've got to have a yin and yang competition. Otherwise, if this was all boring, we'd be going, what are we going to talk about today? Make some stuff up like we did in lockdown.
I will say something very quickly about the Dolphins, because producer Charlie put it on the run sheet, and it's a fair question. What do the Dolphins have in store for them next year when they come in the comp, right? We don't know what this does to the data, as it were, but the Titans are the most comparable team, a brand new team that came in 2007, right?
Yep.
They've actually made the finals four times in the last 15 years, which is not too bad, really. They finished top four twice in their first 4 years. And that's what, so what that says is that when you build your foundation squad and you can create some momentum, it's possible to have early success.
Well, they need a marquee player.
What, that's the thing. What Wayne Bennett will have to guard against with all the you know, the development pathway type stuff is to ensure that there's not that 7-8 year gap between finals runs, that they don't disappear down the arse end of the ladder once they get into the comp and after they make their first run at it. So the challenge is there, but
I think once they get there, I think once they build it, they will come. Yeah. When, that's the marquee player. We keep hearing Munster and Walsh from the Warriors will be them two players. And if you get Munster, that this kind of all of a sudden players' ears prick and they go, okay, Munster has signed on the dotted line. Well, I'm going there to play with Munster.
Oh, what do you think of the signing of Gilbert?
I like it. Yeah, I like it. I think that he's a bit younger than the guys they've signed. They've signed some older front rowers, you know, with Nichols and the Bromwich brothers who aren't getting any younger. And I'd like to see a bit of youth heading that way. So, Sako, he's signed with them as well, hasn't he, from the Titans? Charlie?
Yep. Sako. Yeah, he has,
yep.
Yeah, so I think there's, so I think you need to have 24 signatures by October 1, maybe. And at the moment, they've got, I think, 11 or 12.
There is a whisper of another signature. I don't know when it's going to be confirmed, but there is a whisper of another signature that will make people go, oh, okay. Nice.
Where's he from?
Can't tell you.
Yes, you can.
Can't tell
Don't
you.
Be like Dobbo and think, keep it all to yourself.
No, but the problem is it's a Dobbo story, so I can't
yeah,
tell
well,
you.
Just, okay, well, let's rob from Peter and give the Paul. We're all Triple M, mate. We're all Triple M, buddy.
Never.
Don't you want to have the scoop here?
No, I can't. I can't. Because he hasn't. The scoop's not confirmed. I think it's whispers at the moment.
Okay. Anyway. Can you give me a hint? Is he a forward or a back?
I can't tell you that.
Wow.
I can't tell you that. That's how close to my chest I'm keeping things. He's just outside.
You're never scared of me, were you, when we worked together? What are you scared of Dobbo?
Early doors. Yeah. Early doors. As soon as you started doing the show from home, I relaxed. Hey, you've got to be in your bonnet about referees. This is obviously off the back of the SCG games, the Anthony Tupu incidents. Over to you, sir.
Well, it's just the inconsistencies of it all. I think that I'm going to say 100% of people who watched that tackle on Ravalawa from Tupu would have said he needs at least a sin bin. At least a sin bin. And I think the fact that he wasn't sin bin, the fact that Adam G, the referee, kind of, I think what sentenced him to being dropped this week was the fact that he said to his touch judges or to the bunker, I don't think it was as bad as it looked. But it was Adam, and he paid the price for it. And I think he should have been dropped for it, for saying that out loud to his touch judges, to the bunker. But what I don't understand is that Ashley Klein in the bunker had as much vision as we did at home, as much vision as the commentators, and every single person who's commented on this has said he should have been the sin bin. What stopped Ashley Klein from sending him to the sin bin? And consequently, what stopped the referee's boss from dropping Ashley Klein for his incompetence this week? Players get dropped for incompetence. Players always are accountable. Referees, we've always given them a bit of a free run because we've said a lot of times together, we've never seen a rugby league player play a perfect game. So we don't expect the referee to make a play a perfect game. But when they make such a howler as this, that as Hook Griffin said, if this was Magic Round last year, that would have been 2 years in jail. And that's pushing it a bit, I know, but he would have been sent off. Bet your bottom dollar he would have been sent off. So the fact that Adam G is dropped, I can take that, but he shouldn't have been on his own. Ashley Klein should have been as well, because he had time on his side to make the right decision, and he didn't make the right decision, and Abdo's come out and said as much. So as far as it being the bonnet goes, well, I don't think we'll see it again. I just don't want to see another clap down on things, because that thing at whatever that was at Magic Round, that was foreign to whatever I've seen in rugby league. I haven't experienced anything like that before. Maybe a few years ago we saw it in another semblance, but that was just out of control, and no one likes to see that. No one falls in love with a game where somebody blows a whistle, you know, 50 times a game. So. That's my B, that's my chest.
Well, and just from a player's perspective, MG, take us inside your thinking there, because Daniel Tupu...
Clean skin.
But 12 months ago, right, or even Ravalawa, or even the rest of the players on the field that day, right? 12 months ago, they had it rammed down their throats by the referees and the games administrators that this is not on, right? Yeah. At Magic Round, they demonstrated as much.
I think we saw three send-offs at Magic Round.
But now, less than 12 months, we are less than 12 months on from when the hammer came down in Magic Round last year, and the goalposts have shifted.
Yeah.
And all I imagine you want, players, I'm making presumptions here, assumptions here. I assume players don't give a toss about the rules. As long as they know what they are and know how they're going to be refereed, they can adapt to them, right? But within the space of 12 months, this sort of a rule is so drastically changed in the way that it's adjudicated on field, that must be endlessly frustrating.
Well, it is, because you can bet your bottom dollar again that if that was, you know, if that was a Hargraves or a Radley or a Jaden Sewer or someone with a bit of a reputation, they would have been straight off the field.
Would have been marched to the Bondi police station.
They would have been straight off. Look, reputations do count. That proved it. You know, I think because he is a clean skin, Daniel Tupu, he hasn't done anything like this. Still didn't warrant him staying on the field. He had 20-30 metres to look at the player coming towards him. He had to bend his back by two or three inches and hit him in the chest. But his first action was right in the forehead. And even the best thing about what I saw in this, and this gives me hope going forward as a rugby league tragic, that Ravalawa could jump straight up. He didn't try and milk the penalty at all when he could have laid on the ground. And I would say, Liam, 8 out of 10 blokes would have stayed on the ground for that hit.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem is. That's the thing I don't like about the game and where it's heading, because that was a penalty either way. But the penalty would have been more severe if he stayed down.
And then you wonder, you do the old grand final test. If that's in the last 5 minutes of a grand final and the Dragons are trailing by a point, does Ravalawa get up? Does Anthony Griffin want him to get up?
No, but that's, you can bet your bottom dollar now that once Anthony Griffin's come out and said, been so strong, that something's going to happen for his team in the next few weeks, that he's going to say, oh, Jesus, be careful what I wish for, eh?
Hey, quickly, I want to play you this audio from the Sunday Sin Bin. This is Cowboys coach Todd Payton speaking about Jason Taumalolo's head knock from the weekend.
Between our medical staff, who were very diligent in that area, and plus all the cameras and the external access that the bunker has, and if it's cleared by both of those, I've got no problem with it at all. I actually spoke to Jace this morning, and he's got a bit of a lump on his jaw, but he said he didn't have any headache, so that's the right call was made.
So Jason Taumalolo, for those that missed it, was basically collapsed on the second week in a row. I'm not sure. Producer Charlie, did he? I don't know if he went down the week prior.
No, I don't think he did.
But essentially,
he's always
he had a... It was a head collision with Isaac Liu, and he went down in a heap.
Yep.
And to the average punter, to the viewer at home, you're like, well, there's a HIA. Yep. That's, he's been cleared. So it's just, the inconsistencies around head knocks is, I respect what the game is doing around head knocks. It's never been better managed than it is now.
Yep.
But it's a tricky one, isn't it, when you see such a star so obviously collapse and then be allowed to continue playing and clear to play again this week?
Well, then you watch the Anzac game on Monday, and Victor Radley goes for a big hit on Laurie and gets his head in the wrong spot, and straight away he gets told to go off, where he looked like he had all his faculties about him. And so yeah, it is. It's a hard one. Obviously, the coaches are always going to back their player up. They'd be mad not to. But I'm yet to see a coach say that, oh, you know what, he should have been taken off the field because of his head knock when they weren't. Especially someone like Taumalolo, who's so vital, and he's one of the main reasons they're sitting in fifth position this year.
Mm. Hey, all right, speaking of Radley and that result, you got to feel for the Dragons, because on any other weekend, their Anzac Day clash defeat of the Roosters would have been front page. But then the Storm run around and dropped 10 second half tries, which I feel like is more tries than the Dogs have scored all year.
It would be.
The Roosters. The Roosters, where are they at? Where do you assess them? We're 7 rounds down. They're 4-3. They're sitting 6th, but they're 4-3. But where do you see their form at?
I see it clunky. Clunky would be the word I would use for them, because there's some good things and some unrooster things that you see. I got the reason or the rationale why Radley and Hargraves were started off the bench. Apparently they had head colds on the weekend. But playing the first 10 minutes compared, or the first 20 minutes compared to the coming off 20 minutes, doesn't change how you're going to feel. If you had a if you had a flu, you don't play if it's that bad. So I think Robinson erred on that occasion. I think you got to start, because that's what exactly what Dragons did. They started with Maguire and co, and they took it to the Roosters early, and the ascendancy was almost gone before Radley and Hargraves come on. So look, again, it's, you know, I love the touches of young Suwali in the second half. I think at 18 years of age, he's got a massive future in front of him. Look, as we spoke about earlier, Joey Manu is always going to be a star. Momorowski, like that game over again, because that was one of the quieter games I've seen him play. He's, you know, obviously, being with the Panthers the last couple of years, you've seen him, you know, in better times. But yeah, I don't know. It's Tupanua, who's been one of the fullback rollers of the comp, made a couple of uncharacteristic mistakes. And I do like young Fletcher Baker. Keep an eye on this kid. Number 15 he was on the weekend. He's about 6'4", about 105, 104 kilos, and just gets in there and gets down and dirty. So I'd be starting with him this week if I was Robbo, because you've got the Doggies, who are a danger game. They've got nothing to lose in the other Dogs. But for the Roosters, they've been clunky. That I put them in the same basket as Manly. You know, they're, on any given day, they can beat any team in the comp. But at the moment, they don't look like they're going to beat any, you know, the top teams in the comp.
Yeah. You get the, I mean,
I wouldn't put a line through them. Put it that way. I wouldn't be game enough to put a line through them.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. And I think it's the Robinson respect factor. Any team that's coached by this bloke, regardless of personnel on the park, it's you got to respect them. And let's not forget, they've got a bloke by the name of Brandon Smith turning up next year as well. And quickly, MG, question without notice. The Nick Politis write up in the paper, I can't remember when it was, a week ago or so, about we don't have room for Payne Haas. I don't believe it for a second.
I do not believe.
What did you think when you read that Nick Politis basically saying we don't have room for him?
It's just like when the directors come out and say the coach has lost seven in a row, has got the complete, you know, backing of the board.
Full support of the board.
It is what it is. You know, if he says he's got no room, well, you bet your bottom dollar they have got room for him.
I saw that article and thought, oh, so Payne Haas is going to the Roosters then.
He's because the best. Mate, him and Bennett, honestly, him and Politis and Wayne Bennett for this game are so good. They're so good. The passion is just, you know, unmatched. I love it.
Quick question. Trent Barrett, how much longer until the drums start beating for his head?
Well, you'd think at the moment that he's the coach. Ricky Stewart, second last. He's not under pressure at the Raiders. He's got a job as long as he wants it. It's up to him to know when to walk away. They're not going to sack him. I probably get the same feeling with the Doggies. I don't think they're going to sack Trent Barrett because they want this team to gel. They've got Kikau and Reid Marnie coming to them next year, which is some heavy arsenal. But you want to see some improvement. You want to see something from them. I mean, they were up, 14-6 against the Broncos, and then all of a sudden the Broncos went bang, 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 bang.
Adam Reynolds just woke up.
Adam Reynolds, and that's, you know, South must look at that and go, oh, what do we do? Just give him 2 years.
Why didn't we pay that man?
Just give him 2 years. They offered him 1 year contract. That was absurd, and everyone keeps saying it now. He's in line to be the buy of the year if they keep travelling the way they are.
Nico Hines might put his hand up and say otherwise, just on that buy of the year front.
Yeah, he's been so good. But
just with Barrett, you make a really good point, right? So he signed a 3-year deal, which started last year. So he's halfway through his current contract, okay? And tell me how much, knowing Gus like you do, and you know Baz as well, and Billy Kickout, Reid Marnie, these blokes that are signed to that club, surely Barrett as coach is a factor in them turning up. Particularly Kickout, who played for Trent as an assistant at the Panthers.
Yeah, Brett Naden, Matt Burton, they're all there for one reason. That's because Trent Barrett's their coach. They need a spine. They need a spine that can start scaring people. At the moment, they've got everything but a spine, and that's the most important thing in rugby league. They've got Dufty, who's out of form. They've got Burton and Flanagan, who can't get a combination going.
Marshall King, who's more of a 14, 6'7"
even. So Reid Marnie next year covers the nine. For the time being, I've said it before, I'd be putting out a card at fullback just to see how he goes. Put Dufty on a wing. What do you got to lose? Put Avrilo on a wing. I don't know, but I think just get the Fox involved more and get him at fullback. things will click for them. You know, they're going to take a scalp. This could, it could be the Roosters this Saturday. I'm not going to predict that as my bold statement. But
no, we'll get to those when we do our tips.
Yeah, but it could happen. I think as a Bulldog fan, then there's a lot of them out there who are scratching their head because they promised so much pre-season, but they've delivered so little. And that's the frustrating thing about being a Doggies fan at the minute. They just want some consistency in their game, and they're showing zero. The Jack Hetherington loss was a big one because he was showing some signs of being reborn. You know, he started to realise that, hey, I could be a damaging edge play here with the offload, and I'd have to make every tackle an aggressive one. And losing him to a shoulder injury has hurt the Doggies because I think he would have had the calibre of even pushing for an Origin bench spot if he kept going in that trajectory. Because the way Dan Saifidi's going at Newcastle, there's a bit of worry about his form as well. So, yeah, missing him more than a lot of people will probably think.
I love the idea of the Fox going to play fullback at the Bulldogs, mainly from a State of Origin perspective, because then you could look at a New South Wales side with 6 fullbacks in the squad. Turbo, Latrell, Pappenhausen, Tedesco, Gutho, and the Fox. I love it. Wow. I love it. I think that would just be a lot of fun for Freddie to play with. bloke we got to talk about. I know Luke Brooks was the hero this time, but Jackson Hastings, when you heard the West Tigers had signed him from the Super League,
yep.
what was your thoughts then as compared to now?
My thoughts were that, okay, so he's a little bit, I thought straight away of Blake Austin. I thought he's going to play like Blake Austin did for the Raiders. He's going to be a competitor. Blake Austin won a Man of Steel over there. So did Jackson Hastings. But winning a Man of Steel in England, it doesn't necessarily collate with winning the Dalian Medal in Sydney, in Australia. So I thought they were going to get a really honest first grader. I thought he'd come back, he'd be a good acquisition as a 14, maybe as a 5'8", play a bit of hooker. But no, I didn't expect to see what I've seen in the last 2 weeks of his involvement. He's a bit slower than I thought he'd be when coming back, but I think that's the magic of him. He does everything at his pace, and he's not overawed by anything. As I mentioned earlier in the podcast, he touches the ball 90 times. So everything that Tigers have done in the last 2 weeks has come through him. And consequently, everybody outside him, Nofaluma, has started to score tries again. Mamalo is looking a lot more comfortable. Luke Brooks has been the biggest beneficiary of it. He's a different player. He's playing with a smile on his face. They look like they're a club going places because of one bloke. And even if, it doesn't keep going, at least what he's done is he's given each other teammate a bit of a kick up the arse to say, look, it wasn't that hard, was it? A little bit of effort wasn't that hard, was it? Because that's all he's delivering. He's not delivering anything outstanding. He's throwing the odd beautiful ball, but he's just setting things up, and he's making sure that everyone plays their role, and that's all Madge has asked for the last 2 years. Finally, they're starting to do it, and I couldn't be more happy to see the Tigers, starting to go north on the ladder.
And it also feels like he's the personality who can handle the spotlight of being a halfback at the West Tigers. With all due respect to Luke Brooks, and as a Dalian halfback of the year, he has shown over his career that he is not a standout in front of the media and handle the expectation. That's not to say he can't handle expectation, but he's not the type of bloke to he's not your alpha playmaker. He's not your Jonathan Thurston. He's not your Cooper Cronk. He's not your Andrew Johns. He's not this guy that is prepared to wear the weight of a club. And yet it feels like with Jackson Hastings, at least in the last fortnight of football, and obviously throughout the preseason, the early rounds as well, there's someone there who can take on that for him so that he can concentrate on doing other stuff.
Yep. Very well said. Very well said.
Well done, Jackson Hastings, and I think it's MG, and I think you would agree to this as well, that I think there's a lesson also there in that, your career doesn't end.
No.
There's always, if you're prepared to do the work, there's always a second opportunity for you.
Well, I think that's the way. I think that's why his second coming has been so successful. He was a prodigy when he played for the Illawarra Steelers, Harry Matthews, SG Ball, schoolboys, Australian schoolboys. New South Wales. Everything came easy to him. And then all of a sudden he's gone from the Dragons to the Roosters. It was identified as having, you know, an inflated ego at the Roosters. So they moved him on the Manly, where again, so the same thing happened. He was forced out of their club because of the same reasons. And we spoke about him with him on Brekkie Radio, and I put this to him. I said that you what you seem to be doing now, you've learnt that everything that comes your way, it shouldn't be as easy as you had it. And he said, exactly what I'm learning. He said, I'm actually fighting for what I'm actually fighting now because of how easy I used to have it. And I realised that I'm not the player I was then, but I'm a lot more wiser. And he's certainly showing it. Liam, I couldn't be happier, mate. I hated seeing the Tigers in such peril. I hated seeing Madge McGuire in such agony every game. But the rugby league shouldn't mean that much to you. It's a game in the end. I mean, let me rephrase that. Rugby league should mean that much to you, but it shouldn't affect you that much. It shouldn't be. You shouldn't be physically. You look like you're 20 years older than you really are.
I expect him to start regrowing his hair. I think that's my bold prediction for this round is that Madge starts regrowing hair. Things are going that well at the West Tigers at Concord.
He'll
look like Dez Hasler 10. By round 14. Righto, let's get stuck into round 8. Let's get some tips going. Let's get some bold predictions floating around. Broncos, Sharkies. I'm looking forward to this game. Suncorp Stadium, Thursday night, it kicks off. The Sharks, irrepressible. You've trusted them since about round 3, and I think the rest of the rugby league world is with you now.
I'm going to trust them again. I think this matchup between Stags and Talakai, Stags on the right centre, Talakai left centre, that could be worth the admission alone. I think this is going to be one of them games. Reynolds against Hines, you know, it's a Finucane is back. So I'm leaning towards the Sharkies in this one.
It's a couple of really different, Katoni-Talakai battle it's so different as well because Talakai just runs over people. And whereas Katoni kind of runs around him.
Talakai was a junior athletics champion. You know, he was a South junior. I didn't make it there, and he was an outside back. And then he got put a bit of size on him and moved him in the forwards at the Sharkies. Yeah. And now he's playing in the centres. That left foot step, and they reckon he can play anywhere. Halves from fullback to front row, anywhere in the field he could play.
Could you imagine Talakai in a Matt Shervington style lycra suit? Oh.
Wow.
Well, imagine that running at you.
Sharkies for mine.
Yeah, Sharkies as well. The MG Liam Flanagan Cup on Friday night.
We'll call it the Rush Hour Circa 18 Cup.
The Titans, $7 in a two-horse race at home, taking on the Panthers. My goodness, this is going to be ugly.
Well, I see that... Young Campbell's been put in the extended bench and Brimson's been moved to fullback. And the experiment with Fifita is over. I don't know why he would not put him at lock or front row. I would be putting Tino in the front row if I was Holbrook, and I'd be putting David Fifita in the number 13 jersey. I'd say get amongst a big man. You've got until we think we've got your GPS tracking. We've got all the stuff on your jersey. We know when you're hitting your lethargic state, lethargy state. We know it all. Just keep going. We'll tell you when to come off. Don't you dare look at the bench and put your hand up and say you're buggered because you're going until we tell you to go. And that's in that lock forward. I think he's got too much time to think about the game when he's in the second row or centre. Get him amongst it where he doesn't have time to think about it. He just gets the ball and runs. You know, like a la Dave Taylor, a la these other big units in the game, Taumalolo, who have good hands and feet. Don't put them out wide where they've got time to think about the game. Put them in the middle where they're forced to make effort. And I think that's what would turn his fortune around.
Like this game, Bunnies Manly on Friday night, the second Friday night game, playing at Central Coast up in Gosford, which will be, it's always, whenever Gosford gets a game, the fans turn out en masse. This will be a good one.
Yeah, and they're big massive Rabbitoh fans up on the coast. And I think the fact that Ola Kawatu's is suspended for a week, he's been their best forward. Sean Kepi comes back. I met Sean yesterday at a function. Young, really inspiring kid, great kid. Marty DePauw is back. But I think they're going to be more desperate, South Sydney. They need this game. Both these teams, South actually need it more. They're on 6. Yeah, South are on 6 points. Manly are on 8. So if South lose this game, I'm not going to say it. Because I don't want that headline to say an MG's put a line through the South. Because I know Charlie loves a headline. MG slams the Rabbitohs would be the big headline he'd write. I could see that if they lose this one to Manly, their task of making this year's top eight gets a lot harder, Mr. Obvious Hello. Yep. But, yeah, look, I think Rabbitohs in this one. I'm going for a – what do the odds say? Rabbitohs, a little slight favourites, $1.58 to $2.40. Yeah, I'll lean towards the Rabbits.
Isn't it fascinating? It's kind of which team is going to miss their fullback more. Tommy Turbo not there for Manly and Latrell not there for Rabbitohs. I think Manly have learnt to play without Tommy. I think they're more used to it than the Bunnies are without Latrell. I'm going Manly in that one. I think DC and the boys will continue to roll. Warriors Raiders.
Oh, okay. This is the hardest game to pick for the round, I think. Josh Curran is out from the Warriors, which I think they missed him big time on the weekend. But I don't think he's a 60-point player. They completed two from six sets in that second half.
Sorry. Can we just back over that statement? I don't think Josh Curran is a 60-point player.
No, I don't think he's going to make up for 60 points. I know he's a good player. He's been spoken about in circles to maybe be a bolder for Origin, but he's not worth 60 points in a rugby league game. I don't know. Charlie, can you help me with this one? Who do you like out of the Warriors and Raiders?
I actually think the Warriors are going to win the wooden spoon. Still, I know that Liam says it's not possible.
It's not possible.
I think the Warriors are going to win the wooden spoon, so I reckon the Raiders win this. They're paying $13.
For that alone, I'm tipping the Warriors.
My bold statement is I'm going with Charlie and the Raiders.
Jeez, that's bold.
Yep.
That is very bold. This one's at Redcliffe.
Charlie said by 12.
Yeah, by 12. Yeah.
Bulldogs, Roosters.
Roosters.
Yeah, you just hope you see some more of that attacking flair from the Bulldogs that they showed in the first half of the game against the Broncos. With you, though, Roosters. Eels, Cowboys. Game of the round.
Yeah, great game.
Well, actually, we'll get to the Dragons, West Tigers, which is a nice little matchup too. But Eels, Cowboys, third v fifth, game of the round.
Can you believe the Cowboys are almost $4?
TIO Stadium in Darwin. They're going up to DNT. Great to see footy get up there too.
You know what? This is going to suit the Cowboys no end with the humidity up there. They're basically just going across the top of Australia from Townsville to Darwin, where the Eels have got to go from a wet and dreary Sydney up to a hot and bothered Northern Territory. I went against the Eels last week in my bold statement. You know, I took the Knights. I shouldn't make the same mistake again. I think I can't go against the Eels again. I'm back in the Eels.
Yeah, I saw the Eels play here against the Titans a couple of weeks back, and it was that Queensland humidity. It won't be as bad as it was up in Darwin, but they scored really fast and they played really well. It was the streaker game, but then they let the Titans in with soft tries. I think you've probably got to give the Eels the respect to this one, but it'll be close. I'm looking forward to the game.
I like Dylan Brown, the centres.
It's been going Newcastle are $9 against the Melbourne.
They should be 90.
They're at home on Sunday, 9-1. The Newcastle Knights. We're both tipping the Storm, obviously. MG and Dane Gagai out.
Yeah, they won their first two games back to back. If you remember, I think they beat the Roosters in their first game and their second game, which Charlie will tell us in a sec. Look, has the Ponga saga dragged on? Yes. Was last week a kind of indictment of that? Yes. Will we see a different Knights team this weekend? Definitely. Definitely. They would be so embarrassed about the way they played against Parramatta. But Melbourne, I'm trying to justify Knights being in the game here for 30 minutes. But this team, this Melbourne Storm team, man, as a Panther, they have me worried. They have me really worried because they've still got Kama Kamika to come back into the four-pack. So... This is a game which I think the big four again, Pappenhausen and Munster and Hughes and Grant will all dominate, and I think they'll win and they'll win comfortably.
This is the game where my bold prediction lies this week, MG. Justin Olam to score a hat trick. I think with Dane Gagai out, are they playing on the same side or am I getting their sides confused here?
Gagai's on the right.
And what side's Olam on?
He's on the left. Against Bradman. No, he'd be against Simi.
Simi Sasagi.
Simi Sasagi. Thank you, producer Charlie. So he's Olam would have been up against Gagai had Gagai been in there, one of the best defensive centres in the game. With Gagai out, I think Justin Olam's going to have a field day. I think they're going to look to him. And with Xavier Coates, with what Xavier Coates did last week against the Warriors, I think the Knights may be over Coates conscious, and as a result, Olam runs absolute riot over the Knights this week. So a hat trick for Justin Olam.
Okay, I like it.
They beat the Tigers as well, by the way, boys. The Knights, that was their other win. The
there
Tigers.
We go. Thank you, Chucky. Thank you.
What, the two on the trot Tigers lost a game? I don't believe it.
Early in the year, yeah.
Last game of the round. Looking forward to this one. Yeah, Dragons, this is a hard West one. Tigers. Who wants it? Who wants it?
3 weeks ago, we'd be saying this is a hard game to pick. I think
for different reasons. We probably still would have said it's a hard game to pick because they were both going so bad.
Yeah, yeah, true. Now they're both coming off back-to-back wins, which is great for both clubs. I just think that the Dragons have a little bit more firepower than the Tigers out wide. Lomax and Fagai and Ravalawa, Jack Bird, he's been named, I think, it's a remarkable, because he looked like he broke his arm against the Roosters, so to have him in the team, I think this is going to be, I'm going to make a bold statement here in my bold statement and say that the Dragons back line will score 5 tries.
Like it. Righto, so Dragons back line to score 5 tries against the West Tigers. I'm saying Justin Olam scores at least 3 against the Knights in their matchup. And there is our bold. And you're backing in producer Charlie to say that the Raiders will beat the Warriors by 12 plus.
Yep. He's a smart man.
Well,
as long as you bet me door money, not mine.
Yeah.
Righto, that is us done. Round 8, MG's Rugby League Rundown in the book.
How long's our origin? About what, 7 weeks?
Not too early if you want to start talking about teams.
Yeah, I think next week let's have a prelim. We'll put our prelim origin side up for the New South Wales boys.
Game 1's 8th of June, boys, as well.
8th of June. Right, so we've still got
40 days.
Yeah, 6-7 weeks. There you go. Next week, MG's way too early New South Wales state of origin side. All right, we'll see you next week.
See ya, boys.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.